Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority violated state statutes by investing nearly $45 million in commercial real estate. Alaska Public Media reports that that's the finding of a special audit of the trust released yesterday by the state. The Mental Health Trust funds programs for people with mental illness, developmental disabilities, and other cognitive issues. According to multiple state statutes, the trust's principal funds are to be managed by the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. Since 2008, the trust board has not given the money to APFC and instead invested in commercial real estate. Trust Authority CEO Mike Abbott defended the practice.
We believe that there are several other guiding authorities that the trustees were required to follow in making investment choices. And the fact that the statute doesn't clearly identify alternative investment opportunities, other guiding authorities do.
Abbott points to state and federal statutes regarding trusts that allow for the actions. Abbott says the board decided to invest in commercial real estate to increase the amount of spendable income available for trust beneficiaries.
That everything I've witnessed suggests that the trustees and the trust staff and the TLO staff never wavered from their desire to improve the lives of beneficiaries.
The audit recommends that the trust stop investing in commercial real estate, consult with the Permanent Fund Corporation to determine what to do with its current investments, and restart the transfer of cash principal to the corporation. The trust is following these recommendations while also pursuing legislative changes that would allow them more latitude in their investment strategies. Another finding of the audit was that the Trust Authority's board violated the Open Meetings Act on multiple occasions and purposely kept information from the public and from other board members. The audit report cites emails where board members set up retreats and held meetings without properly noticing the public nor keeping proper minutes in order to keep information private. In other instances, some board members conducted business via email without noticing the entire board. That included issuing a $1.3 million request for proposals and demoting the former CEO in order to hire a new one. Trust CEO Abbott acknowledges that the board has had problems with openness and transparency.
I think we agree that the trust has not met the community's expectations regarding open meetings and public notifications in the past.
Abbott says the board has recently taken steps to fix the process by rewriting guiding documents and receiving more training. Fairbanks North Star Borough School District bus service will continue to improve. That was the message from District Transportation Coordinator Ryan Hinton during a report to the school board last night. Hinton referred to busing issues identified by a survey of school principals last month. Problems, he says, are being worked on over the summer.
The leading areas for improvement are the late buses and then the late bus notification. And then after that, student management. And that's as far as behavioral issues on the bus and managing those behavior issues. And then charter bus availability and then the timeliness of those charter buses.
Hinton acknowledged a rough start last fall and credited new leadership at bus contractor First Student with turning things around.
They've really brought a lot of energy and that effort towards collaboration and trying to really improve things.
New Fairbanks First Student Manager Logan McKenzie told the board that regional company officials have also been replaced.
We've had a complete change in leadership, and that has brought back some really good employees that lost faith in First Student.
McKenzie, a former military transportation sergeant at Fort Wainwright, says his kids ride the bus, and that's central to his priorities managing the system.
We actually have the harshest road conditions in the United States and North America. So the safety of the kids is, I take it very personal.
McKenzie says First Student is working to minimize bus driver turnover during the summer by helping drivers find alternative work, as well as offering bonuses and incentives to aid in driver retention and recruitment. A driver shortage resulted in poor service last fall. McKenzie noted that First Student plans a full-scale rehearsal of its routes prior to the start of the new school year in August. There may be a way to predict some earthquakes. University of Alaska Fairbanks-led earthquake monitoring and analysis has revealed unusual precursor activity along the Minto Fault west of Fairbanks. UAF Associate Professor of Geophysics Carl Tape says seismometers in the region recorded minor shaking before an earthquake.
A low building up process that becomes an earthquake.
Tape says that type of warning signal has never been detected anywhere else in the world. Tape says the motion and another type of pre-quake movement were picked up on two occasions prior to moderate earthquakes.
3.5 and 4, which are, these events would be felt by lots of people in Fairbanks. And yet we have to remind ourselves, in 1995, you know, there's a magnitude 6 on this fault zone.
Tape cautions that the preliminary shaking does not prelude many other earthquakes which occur along the Minto Fault.
If people remember, in 2014, there was a magnitude 5 out toward Minto and some magnitude 4.5. Those were just regular earthquakes, nothing special happening before them.
Tape says understanding the precursor signal is practically valuable because the fault will most likely continue to generate similar activity in the future.
That's one thing exciting about seismology, and also a little scary, is that what happened in the past will very likely happen in the future.
Tape says precursor shaking is likely particular to the Minto Fault, which has unique characteristics. I'm Dan Bross.